Welcome to the Got Your Six podcast. This podcast brings together current service members and veteran high performers to share their methods, strategies, and ideas delivered in an informative and, most importantly, actionable way that'll help you lead yourself and those around you from the battlefield to the boardroom. Coming to you every episode, I'm your host, Tony Nash, and into the breach.
Nothing mentioned on this podcast is an endorsement or opinion of the Department of Defense.
I got your six, we got your back. Got your six, we got your back. Got your six, we got your back. I got your six.
Sixers, what an unbelievable treat we have today. Our guest today, there's so many ways we could describe him. First and foremost, let's say he's a combat veteran gardener. Sean Flower is joining us today. Sean, thank you so much for being on the Got Your Six podcast.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me.
So I think the best place to start is, when did you first get into gardening or recognize, like, hey, there's something here?
Yeah, so I got out of the U.S. Army Infantry in 2016. I was medically retired after having major back surgery. When I got out, I was going back to school. I was enrolled in an undergraduate program at George Mason University. I was also dating, and someone who I met on Bumble got me a bonsai tree. I then did a public speaking class teaching people about bonsai. And from there, just kind of was left with more questions than answers. I got a terrible grade on that assignment because I went way over on time, but was just like mystified by the whole process and wondered like what was going on in the soil and like, how do I get this thing to grow? Why do my plants keep dying? And just found like over time and as that hobby grew that there's some significant metaphors and ways that plants can teach us to live better lives.
I think that's fascinating because there are so many like different metaphors of like growth, rebirth, understanding like soil and decomposition and all that. Right now is, what is your kind of like go-to analogy when you talk about people and plants and how you use that as a form of self-expression as well as establishing agency when it comes to identity?
Yeah, so I think especially for veterans, the metaphors that I usually point to is that plants give me a sense of responsibility. I know that at the end of the day, my plants need me. And if I'm suffering or I'm not fully engaged in my life, then my plants are going to suffer. I've found that they can oftentimes be a reflection of how I'm feeling. If my plants are just not doing great and kind of drooping or like not really growing, you know, I think it's important to look and check your environment and see like how can I make adjustments to the light? How can I make adjustments to the watering cycle? What don't I know about this plant? Where's the like gap in my knowledge and what can I learn to kind of fix the problem? And I think so often veterans get in this mode where we're not always stopping and, you know, checking our own temperature, like checking our own environment and thinking objectively, like, why am I feeling like this? And what led me to where I'm at now? And, you know, what kind of immediate and longer term actions can I take to implement some corrective actions in my own life? Like, do I need to go to therapy? Like, should I talk to somebody? Do I need to get outside and walk? Like, am I hydrated? Did I hit my hydration goal for the day? Am I drinking any water at all? And then, you know, I think plants like the military have kind of connected me to something much bigger than myself, where when I was in the infantry, I really felt like part of a team and part of a group and had that sense of belonging. And I think plants can remind us of our larger connection to nature, especially for people who live in cities where maybe there's not as much greenery around. We can bring those benefits into the home and experience some of the science-backed benefits of horticulture and gardening.
And that tactical patience that you talked about of like kind of understanding the environment, not only for ourselves, but of plants, it's really easy for people to be like, I just kill plants and like they write it off. Do you usually say to people who say like, I can't keep a plant alive to save its life? How do you get over that initial barrier to entry?
I think when people say that they have a black thumb, that just isn't true. I think there's just a gap in their understanding of what's happening and what to do to fix things when they go wrong. So I try to encourage people to consider and get familiar with maybe some of the stories that we've made up for things that have happened in our life. Like a good example is for plants is I killed one plant, so I'm a plant killer. But that's not true. You know, you're Tony, and maybe you just have a gap in your knowledge about gardening, and it's just it's a learning point. It's an opportunity to learn and grow your own knowledge. And I think in the military, like one way that kind of these stories that I had about life showed up for me was when I was in Iraq, three guys in my platoon were killed by a suicide bomber. And we had to respond to the incident. And after that, one of the things I told myself is, you know, it should have been me. Like, I had a lot of survivor's guilt around that. I know that's a distinct big jump from plants, but I think it ties back to, like, I'd made something up about something that had happened that wasn't true. And past that, you know, there was really an opportunity to kind of learn that I had PTSD, and these are reactions that humans have oftentimes in these types of scenarios. And there's nothing wrong with that. And then from there, you know, I can make more powerful moves toward improving my situation.
And you talked about those being like massive leaps. How do you work on iterating in the interim? Right? Because it's one thing to say like, hey, I need to go seek help and counseling because I have a problem. But getting to that point of recognizing that there is maybe treatment that you need to seek, how do you continue to kind of go down that path or help someone go down that path when it comes to gardening? Because like you said, they might write off plants forever, but what they really need is just another opportunity to go at it. Is there like a plant that you kind of recommend to people or an entry point to kind of get in there?
Yeah, I think snake plants are great, easy to care for, super resilient plants. The leaves hold a lot of water and they're really drought resistant, and they can survive or grow in a wide range of light conditions. So I think that's a good place to start. Another good place to start with plants is a pothos plant, also super resilient, easy to care for, can grow in lower to moderate amounts of light, and also stand more amounts of direct light. And then for therapy, I would say just being in communication with people who can help. I mean, other veterans who understand where you're coming from and care, your family, you know, just anybody really, like someone who can tell you like, hey, you know, it's okay to feel the way that you're feeling and, you know, maybe you should get help. Like when I got back from my first deployment, which was 2007, 2008 in Baghdad, mostly and in north of Baghdad in Baquba and the Diyala province, I was just partying all the time and trying to fill this gap of adrenaline that existed and really just kind of inadvertently exhibiting all these behaviors, and like my actions were like quite risky at the time. And I mean, really, like the girl I was dating and her family, they were like, hey, you know, we really think you should talk to somebody. We don't think this is normal. And that kind of, I came to my senses and I was like, you know, yeah, I really need help. So I think it's just talking to somebody, ideally somebody who understands or gets it, but just anybody really who has your best interest in mind.
And then when you talked about those plants specifically, are they readily available? Can you kind of find them anywhere at like a local hardware store, or like, do you have to go online?
Yep. Super easy to find either online. I'm a brand ambassador for a company called Lively Root. They're available on their website. But yeah, there's tons of options to get those plants. I mean, there's plant swaps you can look up. There's Facebook groups for plant swaps. People can go to those meetings and exchange plants or get a cutting of a plant, someone who's made a copy of their plants. So there's definitely a lot of options there.
Where are you kind of learning right now something that you've never like thought about when it came to like plants and horticulture? Or like at least, like I said, coming into it, like you're like, I had no idea this was something I was going to be researching or trying to like learn more about to help my plants grow.
There's definitely a jump in considerations when you scale up to having lots of houseplants. I never thought that I would install a 3-stage water filtration system in my condo. I never thought I'd consider like integrating having an integrated pest management system, or, you know, releasing some beneficial insects against harmful insects. I didn't know anything about using nematodes to take care of pests and dormant eggs that can exist in soil that's even been dried out. It's just been a process of learning. I think that just human beings in general, like, we just still don't understand everything that goes on in the soil when plants go through their process of uptaking nutrients and photosynthesizing light into growth and energy for the plant. So there's definitely like a wide breadth of information out there, and also just like a gap in overall like human understanding that is super fascinating to me. I didn't think that I would ever scale it up and consider like, okay, I'm going to start a business now, do plant sales and plant consulting. I have a company started, an LLC called Vet Grows LLC. So it's just been, it's been good to have a hobby that I'm really passionate about, something to do, something to keep me moving. And yeah, it's definitely, it's been a lot of fun.
I know online you have a very large presence when it comes to these like inspirational, like themed plant, very humorous content. Where do you go to get a lot of your content ideas? Is it talking to other people, or is it you kind of have a running list?
That's a really good question. My process of content creation and where I go to source ideas is mostly just scrolling through Instagram reels and, you know, just listening to audios that are out there, seeing other people's ideas and using that as like a benchmark and coming up with my own. Sometimes it's just recreating other people's content and taking your own kind of spin on it. But yeah, it's a somewhat chaotic process, but I'm just having fun with it and super grateful for all the growth on Instagram, and just happy to be supporting the overall like goodness of things with positive messages and humor and, you know, just some things that have helped me. And I've really kind of found purpose in helping other people and doing what I can to serve the veteran community.
Do you think it's because of finding that purpose, it's allowed you to not take yourself so seriously and not be like focused on like, you know, all the different metrics that could be out there, but it allows you to just be like, you know what? I'm just trying to help one person with this video.
So I would honestly attribute the growth and like the ability to just self-express without having so many ideas about what people thought to some training that I've gone to. So I've been to this series of transformative learning experiences. It's called the Landmark Curriculum for Powerful Living. There's three parts: the Landmark Forum, the Landmark Advanced Course, and the Landmark Self-Expression and Leadership Program. Through that process, I realized that a lot of my ideas about what life meant didn't mean anything. And I learned that my emotions aren't real tangible things that I can say this is a thing. Like, it has a beginning, middle, and end. And I learned the same thing about my thinking. Like, that's not tangible. Like, I learned that sometimes I was putting my past and things that happened in the present by just only being able to see life through that context and through that lens. I'd essentially put on like 17 different shades of glasses, all different colored lenses. And then I was trying to look at life through that. And in the process of doing that work and taking those lenses off and being like, you know, I don't have to live with survivor's guilt. I can put that down. Things that happened when I were a kid, like, that doesn't have to define me. Things I've done in the past, mistakes I've made, they don't have to define me. And then through that, like, I was able to just create and just be present to the process of just making stuff and not really having so much of an idea of like, what would that mean? What would other people think? Like, how would other people interpret what I'm making? And just through that, like, I really got my self-expression kind of powered up. And I think it's easy to come up with some ideas of what life means, like any given day of the week, and start drawing some conclusions. But I'd rather just be open to life and just be present to life. And that has definitely like allowed me just to exist and just be and record stuff and act funny. And I'm sure my neighbors like think I'm a crazy person from all the like noises and things they've heard probably coming from my condo. But yeah, it's been a really inspiring process to not have to live through the context of my definitions of what life means, just see life as it really is.
How do you kind of take that tactical pause when you might be putting on lenses and, you know, you're, like you said, you're 7 to 20 layers deep of lenses. How do you kind of stop in the moment and say, hey, Sean, we need a break a little bit and kind of step back?
That's a great question. So I meditation has been a huge part of my healing journey and being able to have a tool to purify the mind and come back to a place of compassion for myself and compassion for others. So a big part of that has been meditation, using the breath as an anchor, learning and training myself to control my breathing. And then just really, you know, creating meditation, I think, creates space between what I think life is and what life is. So I think best case, you know, I'm not so identified with my thoughts and with my emotions and with my feelings and all these reasons that I have for doing or not doing things. You know, I think that past all that, there's just life and there's just taking actions now to, you know, either work towards your goal or just do something that you want to do. And so, yeah, I think meditation has been a huge part of that. And just really tapping into some significant philosophies that have been around for thousands and thousands of years. I think most of the self-help stuff that people are coming out with today, I mean, most of it isn't new. Like, people are taking their own spin on it, which is all meaningful in its own way. But just kind of realizing certain things and like allowing myself to like understand certain distinctions that really have helped me live more powerfully.
And to that extent too, like the plants end up being like a visual reminder to you throughout the day as you're going, you know, in and out of the house to kind of just be like, hey, stop. We're growing. We're continuing to grow, but it's not all going to be overnight because that time, right? Because in that growth, there's going to be times where you overwater or give it too much sunlight. And, you know, you see that as like a setback or a failure, whatever you want to call it. Sean, where has there been a failure that has been just so great and so massive, but ultimately led to just a huge way forward for you to overcome a lot of adversity in your life? And we don't have to say failure. We could say you had too much sunlight or you were overwatered or something along those lines.
Well, I think that I've struggled a lot of my life with substance abuse, painkillers, and with alcohol. I've also struggled with porn. And, you know, I think the biggest breakdown in my life was my relationship with my word. And I think this is such a distinct thing for veterans to understand. But when I was in the military, I had a lot of integrity in my service. I did the right thing. I showed up in the right place, right time, right uniform. I passed PT tests. I led soldiers. I did what I was told to do. But I lacked a lot of integrity in my personal life. I used to be married. I cheated on my ex-wife. I didn't honor my word. And that kind of not having integrity in my personal life, but yet having integrity in the sense that I served, created this massive blind spot in my way of being, in my way of living. Like, I wasn't really fully present to life. I was like half dead, walking around with like a horse with blinders on. I only saw what I wanted to see. So I think that was the biggest breakdown. And realizing that, in fact, I am my relationship to my word. And when looking at integrity, especially because I know integrity is defined in the military sometimes as doing the right thing when no one's looking. But I learned that integrity can also mean the overall workability of your life. And when you lack integrity in the sense that you don't tell the truth, right? Even if nobody asks, just to do it because you knew it was the right thing to do, that kind of lying through omission, even it just caused a massive blind spot in my life. And I wasn't able to, you know, step into the day and like the needs of like my life at that time. I was only seeing what I wanted to see. And then and then glossing over all of that with unhealthy stuff, like aggressive, like dating too much, dating for the wrong reasons, drinking, partying, painkillers for a while, and just, and like I said, porn, and kind of just becoming like numb almost to my life and not fully living my life.
So then, Sean, we've covered a lot in this episode. And as we wrap up, how today are you fully living in your life? How are you better today than yesterday?
So I think one of the things I'm most excited about right now is when I thought about how much I care about veterans, and especially the issue of veteran suicide, where per a Brown University study on the cost of war, around 30,177 post 9/11 veterans have taken their own lives, a statistic that's understated because we don't always count drug overdoses. And that's completely significant to the around 7,000 that died fighting in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. But always caring about that issue and then kind of realizing that I had been insincere and where I was really working to find solutions. And I decided to launch an operation called Operation Buddy Check. I contacted every single person from my first platoon who I was deployed with in 2007, second platoon, Bravo Company, 138 Infantry, while I was in 4th Brigade, 2nd Infantry Division. And I set up a meeting for us all to meet. And not everybody showed up, but I got in contact with 27 people, including some military spouses. And like, I think like 10 people showed up to the first call. But that's where I think I've been the most active recently. And just realizing like the place where I can make a change is with my battle buddies, with the people who I served with. Realizing that, you know, they have felt the same way that I have. There's people out here who are at risk for suicide. And, you know, like I realized, like I can be the person who can do something about it. And that kind of, I mean, that thrust me into my life in like a super meaningful way. And I realized like how much I needed those connections and I needed those people in my life, not just their friendship, but their advocacy, their support. I think that we're better off in communication with one another, especially as we transition out into the civilian life. I think that veterans don't have to be an island. We should be able to rely on one another and be honest and be vulnerable. And so just trying to create those spaces and really working to help my brothers in arms and sisters in arms live more like powerful lives and achieve some mental freedom in their life has really given me my life back. And I'm super grateful for that.
And Sean, we're grateful for you doing that for, you know, like you said, brothers and sisters in arms. Where can people go to connect with you and form those bridges so they're no longer an island?
They can follow me on Instagram at Sean Fowler. It's all one word. I'll be starting a website at some point in the near future. So that'll be also available and put out through my Instagram. But they can follow me on Instagram and shoot me a message. I'm always happy to connect with veterans and always looking to inspire veterans because, you know, we're the ones that should be making a difference in this community, and we're the ones that can make a difference in this community.
Sean, I can't thank you enough for not only being vulnerable today, but sharing your tactics, your methods, your strategies. And most importantly, brother, thanks for having our six.
Thanks, Tony. I appreciate it, man. It's been a pleasure meeting you and being on the podcast. I'm super inspired by what you're doing to help veterans, and I really hope this message reaches people and they constitute themselves as a new possibility, you know, like past our ideas of life and what life means. There's just life. And so I hope my friends don't have to struggle as much and we can continue to work to help them live better lives.
Absolutely. Thanks, Sean. Sixers, Bruce Lee said, "I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times." I hear that and I think of the team over at Bridgebuilt. I own a Phoenix squat rack, and it is the absolute ultimate piece of gym equipment that I have at the house. Heavy-duty construction, versatile design, and the ability to fold up for limited space. Not to the wall, not to the floor. You just fold it up on wheels, move it wherever it needs to go. Head over to bridgebuilt.com and upgrade your gym today to the Phoenix squat rack. Hey Sixers, did you know the Got Your Six podcast is now streaming every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern and Saturdays at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern on Wreaths Across America Radio, available on the iHeartRadio app, the Audacity app, and the TuneIn app. Just search the word Wreath. If you got something out of this, be a battle buddy. Share with a friend, pass it along. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, make sure you leave us a review and give us as many stars as you think we warrant, because we love what we do here at the Got Your Six podcast. We're always adapting and evolving this podcast because of you, the Sixers. And if you're listening on Spotify, hit that follow button. You'll never miss an episode when we drop new ones every Monday.
I don't know what you've been told, Sixers, but the lawyers would like us to remind you that the views, opinions, and comments expressed on the Got Your Six podcast are solely those of the hosts or guests, to include current and previous Department of Defense employees, and should in no way be considered the opinions of or endorsements on behalf of the Department of Defense or any of its components, divisions, contractors, or other current and previous staff members.